It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward.
That's what I'm talking about.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
I wish I had a better laugh than this. All I want to do is laugh right now. All I want to do is just have a good laugh because the confetti dropped in Philadelphia. The Celtics win the game. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Media. My name is Matt Rury. Tonight I am joined by Calvin Chamberlain, my co-host of Careless Whispers that hasn't aired in many weeks. And Nick Sesento will be along shortly. Celtics win this game in overtime, game three, Eastern Conference semifinals, down in Philadelphia. They win this one 101-98, and what a game this was. This was a close game pretty much the entire way, and there was a 10-point lead early on for the Celtics, but Philadelphia hung in there, and I think we have a lot to talk about, so we will get to that. And Calvin, I feel like laughing because let's just get this confetti thing out of the way, right out of the gate. Forget about what happened during the game. Forget about that last few seconds when Al Horford just took over and looked like a masterful all-star type of player and definitely above average for those people that criticize him. And forget about Jason Tatum having a big boy game for just a second because we got plenty of time tonight. How do you feel about Philadelphia dropping the confetti at the end of regulation?
I mean, I don't know who's in charge of that, but it was pretty hilarious. It's so premature. And then, like, his Ilya Sova's teammates are, like, carrying him off the court, and he's got his hand in a little snake pose that he's making with his arm. Like, have you seen that gif of, like, all those dudes who are like, whoa, you know what I'm talking about? I don't know if you know. Anyway, the Sixers were all like that, like celebrating like the game was over. But I feel like it's not even like his foot wasn't even that close to not being on the line. It was called the two immediately. And like,
immediately,
I don't understand.
It was the right call. It was clear.
I understand in the scenario where it gets called a three, and then the confetti drops, and then like the referees go and look at it and get switched to a two.
Sure.
Like, yeah, right there in the court, it was called a two. It was obviously, it's like some guy just getting a little too excited. But, yeah, it's pretty funny.
All right. Well, like I said, 101-98, and the Celtics go up 3-0 in this series against the Philadelphia 76ers. It's starting to look like a sweep. Is it too early to say that? Is it too early to ask people to break out the brooms, Calvin? Because you know what? I was going to vacuum today or tomorrow, but maybe I'll just sweep the house instead. Maybe I'll just symbolically do that. I don't know. I feel like the way Philadelphia hung in there, they should still be the favorite to win game four, in my opinion. I think Vegas should put them as the favorite, and if I had to bet on it, I would bet Philadelphia in game four. But for all intents and purposes, this series is over.
Well, yeah, considering that nobody's ever come back from down 3-0, I think that it's not unfair for you to say the series is over. I mean, you're right. Philadelphia might win the next game. Then they might not. But it doesn't matter either way. Like, I don't know. If I'm a Celtics fan, you know, if Philadelphia wins that next game at home and I'm, you know, have anything to do with the post game or I call in or whatever, I would not be concerned at all about it because, yeah, it's pretty much a wrap at this point. Even though, yes, this game was incredibly close, incredibly well played game all the way around. And game two was incredibly close as well, but it doesn't matter now because it's a 3-0 series. So, yeah, start partying, Celtics fans.
Yeah, I'm happy about it. Celtics Twitter looks like they're pretty happy about it. And I'm sure that the callers tonight will be happy about it as well. So before we really dig into this thing, I want to remind you, of course, that CLNS Media and the Celtics postgame show is brought to you by Hims. And if you want to know more about Hims, you can go to 4hims.com. And it's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, all for you men out there that are looking for a little boost. Give yourself a boost. Have you been losing hair? Maybe. Are you trying to, like, you know, speed things up in your love life? Get a little more action? This might be the brand for you. You might want to go check out the new wellness brand for men. It's Hims. So go to 4hims.com and put in – actually, sorry, go to 4hims.com/report because you know what? The Garden Report is bringing this to you as well. If you want to go get $5 – get a month of Hims for just $5 right now, that's what you do. 4hims.com/report. FORHIMS.com/report. And this is not some sort of crazy pill or a supplement that you find over the counter in a random store. This is legitimate, and people have used it many times, and they've fixed their baldness. They're not bald anymore. They've gained their hair back because of Hims. So go check it out. 4hims.com/report for a free month, not a free month, a trial month for just $5 today. I'm a little fired up about this because the Celtics won tonight. Anyway, listen, at some point I want to get into why the Celtics won this game as far as the Sixers' standpoint is concerned, because I think that Philadelphia has shown a lot of flaws in this series, and everyone who picked them, ESPN, every ESPN writer who picked them, just like they picked Portland to win the series against New Orleans, these guys can just shove it. I'm done with ESPN. I'm tired of their announcers. I'm tired of their experts who are picking series. I'm done with ESPN, Calvin. I'm throwing it out there right now. They're all a bunch of clowns over there, and Philadelphia has some flaws. I want to get to that later because I want to start with, to me, the most exciting part of this game, which was Jason Tatum. And I think Jason Tatum, while he did have a couple of rough patches in this game, overall, he proved himself, and he showed that he belongs in the discussion for Rookie of the Year, and I think that he's going to have an excellent career, and I'm excited about what this kid is going to bring to the Celtics for years ahead. I'm not even looking at right now. I just think that he kind of had a coming of age a little bit in this game tonight. 24 points, 11 of 17, had a huge rebound towards the end of the offensive rebound towards the end of the game to keep the possession alive. And he was all over the place tonight. I want to give him props to start this show.
Well, I mean, I think that there's a difference between Rookie of the Year and the idea of rookie with the brightest future. I mean, you can make an argument that he's that, but I don't think you can make that argument for Rookie of the Year because that has to do with actual production. You know what I mean? I don't think he was there with that, but yeah, that being said, he did have a, is that unfair? I mean, that's fair, right?
No. I just think he belongs in the discussion. Obviously, it's a two horse race right now, but he is clearly better than anyone else in the class. So, in that regard, that's the way I'm sort of looking at it.
I mean, okay. We don't want to become that show. Maybe
no,
later
we're not doing that right now. We're not doing that right now. But go ahead.
Yeah, we're not doing that right now. He was phenomenal in this game. You hinted that Philadelphia has some issues, and it's funny. I'm really disappointed that, you know, for those who don't know, Ray and I do a podcast called Careless Whispers. We have not been able to get to it mainly because of these playoffs where it goes to a lot of games. But I'm furious we didn't get to do a show before the series started because I want you to know that I was so confident that Boston was going to win the series with Philadelphia that I have all kinds of bets going on with people.
Nice.
And the reason, the biggest reason is there's a couple of reasons. Reason one, but the main reason I thought is just Philadelphia is not ready. Your weaknesses in the playoffs. You don't, like, when you're a young team that, you know, you're playing your first playoff series together, you don't know how to react to adversity in a way that a team with, like, a lot more experience like Boston is going to have. And I knew that the Celtics, with Brad Stevens coaching as well, but really it's not even just Brad Stevens. Look, Philadelphia does have roster issues. And those issues have a lot to do with the fact that Boston's players, their advantage is in most cases not necessarily individualized talent, but the difference is that Boston's players are almost all universally versatile in a way that we're seeing these Philadelphia 76ers lack. You know, a guy like Jay, and this comes going back, taking it back to Jason Tatum, you know, first of all, we need to get a little bit into Philadelphia's defensive assignments, but Tatum is being matched up with guys like Dario Saric, guys like Ilyasova, you know, guys like Bellinelli, and he's just way more athletic than them. And Brad Stevens puts him in a good position every time he gets the ball in that three-point line, or he gets the ball in motion, and he's just blowing past those dudes. And even then, he's still, you know, credit to him, because he's still getting past Joel Embiid multiple times at the rim. Really finished well tonight. I was really impressed with his game, particularly late, obviously. But, like, they don't even have the sort of the kind of guy who can match up with him. But the problem is Philadelphia needs those guys to stretch the floor on the offensive end, because Ben Simmons, in, you know, to a lesser extent, Embiid, they need to stretch the floor to allow those guys space to do what they do.
Yep.
So what do you, so like if you're Philadelphia, you have to give something up on one end of the court one way or the other, and the Celtics don't have to do that because their offensive guys are also their defensive guys.
Oh, they're so versatile. They just can, it's kind of like a plug and play situation. They just can put anybody in, and it still flows the same way. And I think that is a tribute to Danny Ainge. You have to give him credit for putting this roster together, and certainly Brad Stevens deserves credit for finding the right mix of players that can all play together and all play different positions and all handle the ball at some point and all play in the post and all shoot threes. They're not the best team in the NBA. They're not going to win the NBA championship. Some people might be starting to think that they can get there, but it's not going to happen. The talent's not there without Hayward and Irving, but the future is bright around here. And the coaching and the roster, the way the roster has been put together is a big part of it. So you have to give them credit for that, but you're absolutely right. Philadelphia looks like a team that is becoming a little bit outdated, actually, even though they're so young, because they've got your spot-up shooter in J.J. Redick. He's a pure shooting guard, right? They've got Robert Covington, who is a big part of them trying to stretch the floor and was an absolute no-show tonight. He's a straight-up small forward. Dario Saric really fits in at power forward, and that's about it. Where else can he play? Ben Simmons is the most versatile player that they have, in my opinion, even though Embiid is starting to show that he is certainly going to be an all-star going forward in his career. But Philadelphia fits into the old generic positions, 1 through 5. And that's not the way that the NBA is going right now. So the Celtics, not only are they trending up, just as Philadelphia is, but they have the right mix of players and types of players and versatility that the NBA is really looking for as far as teams that are going to be winners going forward. So I'm pumped really about the way things are going. And I think the Celtics look really good, and you have to just be happy about the future regardless of what happens this season. So that's why if there's people out there that are still down on the Celtics at times or feel critical of them because they're not doing as well as maybe they should have or something, I'm tired of it. I hope that's a straw man. Like, I don't want to hear it. And I know it's not a straw man because a certain member of my family is like always criticizing them. And I'm like, how can you just be happy with what they're doing? They're all overachieving right now. And this game was proof of that, in my opinion. So anyway, I'm going to bring Nick Sesento in here, but go ahead, Calvin, real quick.
No, you know my philosophy in regards to, like, just the I'm not happy unless we're winning a championship type is, like, not my favorite type of sports fan. So I definitely think, like, regardless of whether they win a championship or not, and, yeah, they're probably not, but, like, it's still not a reason to be unhappy with this team. You're right. They outshine their talent on a seemingly night-to-night basis. I mean, and they're just immaculately coached. And I want to get into it. I'm more, you know, the technical aspects. We haven't gotten very much into it at all. But, like, you saw in Game 2, like, how they sort of schemed Simmons out of the game. In many ways, in my opinion, even though he put up 22 and 19, they kind of schemed Joel Embiid tremendously effectively in a way that I found fascinating. That I know
he was
10
of 26.
Yeah, and here's the thing. And maybe this is partly – this is also sort of an indictment of the idea – because it happened a little bit on the other end with Horford when Horford tried to match up against Ilyasova, like, one too many times where sort of the Celtics offense, you know, slowed down to a crawl. Embiid had his times where he ended up scoring, but – One Horford did a tremendous job blocking him twice, just you know, not giving him the position he wanted. But even beyond that,
what would happen is like when Joel Embiid caught the ball in the post, then nobody else had to do anything because Joel Embiid felt this need to be the hero in this game. And he started, you know, settling for fadeaways. He started settling for these bad attempts when it was clear. Like, they got in his head. I loved what Baines did to him with the pushes and stuff because I felt like Embiid sort
good
of
stuff.
Felt like, yeah.
Wiping the floor, wiping the floor with the towel or trying to at least, that reminded me of stuff that Rondo does, but Baines was on the bench instead of being in the game. Like, it's just, I love it.
It's like, Joel Embiid might be Hakeem Olajuwon someday, but he's not quite Hakeem Olajuwon yet. So if he wants to try to force it and take those shots, to a certain extent, like you let him do that because then they're not getting threes. Then Ben Simmons is functionally. And you saw, like, they basically had to do the Chris Paul, James Harden thing with Simmons. Like, Simmons and Embiid were not working well together at all in that game because of the way the Celtics are playing them. Normally, Simmons, like, does a good job breaking his man off the dribble and sort of feeding Embiid inside, you know, motion. Look, all of Embiid's offense was not motion-based at all. It was all low post. I have to take this man off the dribble. Like, Embiid, you know, he wasn't posting up at the perimeter very often.
Nope.
He was single-minded, hey, I have to do this. And I felt it played right into Brad Stevens' defense's hands.
And you know what? He doesn't have great post moves. He's not even close to Hakeem Olajuwon. He looks like he's going to be an all-star type of player, but he needs to work on a lot in the post if he's going to try and do stuff like that and win in the playoffs, because you need to change your game on the fly and be able to do a lot of different things and be versatile like we talked about a little bit earlier. Anyway, Nick Sesento joins us now. Nick, there's a lot that we've talked about in the last 10 minutes, but what's your take on this game tonight? And I guess the series overall, obviously it's over, but how are you feeling about the Celtics right now?
Well, I've imbibed a bit, and I'm rolling up some post-game celebratory dubage as we speak. So, you know, definitely, totally psyched about this game. You guys have, you know, covered it pretty much, you know, down to a T. I know Calvin is always just fantastic with his analysis. I love his description of what Joel Embiid is doing, how the Philadelphia 76ers. I think you also said that as well, Matt. Philadelphia 76ers is just an old-school style team, and as long as Ben Simmons can't hit a jump shot, and to this point he can't even hit like 2 feet away from the basket.
He made a few free throw jumpers there.
He hit a couple free throw
jumpers mid range.
Yeah, okay, you know, and the sun shines on a dog's ass, you know, at least once in his lifetime. I mean, it happens occasionally, but you know, you can't count on him to get that done. No. But you know, aside from the analysis, a few bullet points. I wrote down, are we allowed to say premature ejaculation on the air? Because, I mean, that confetti is like, I knew when the confetti came down, I said, the Boston Celtics are not going to, they're going to take that confetti as motivation. And I think the Sixers came out in OT and, you know, hit them, you know, a couple of those baskets. J.J. Redick hit that three-pointer. I think Bellinelli hit another, you know, I'm going to, you know, shoot the hardest two-pointer imaginable by, you know, putting my foot on the line on the three and, you know, hitting one of those. But, I mean, I just saw that as that's going to, you know, burn. And it was amazing watching, you know, I was watching the ESPN. Unfortunately, I had to watch Boris Dirk and whoever was, you know, with her calling the game.
Oh, so bad. I don't even want to get into it. It makes me so angry.
Oh, I love that guy. I totally disagree with
that. He was all over Philly's nuts. He loves Philadelphia. He loves saying the process. And all of their stupid puns about the process and the mask and all this crap. Give me silence. Give me silence before those two. That was brutal.
I just liked his Gus Johnson, you know, Bill Walton-level enthusiasm. I miss the enthusiastic announcers. Those guys. He was so excited when anything good happened that I was like, I'm on board completely with this guy. But anyway, go on.
I will say the Doris Burke kind of went overboard
on
Jason Tatum, so it goes both ways. But sorry. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, no, and I mean, if I had a dollar for every time she called Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris, and Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart,
I'd be a thousand there by now.
They
thought Aaron Baines fouled out, and I heard the PA announcer in the background on my television say, foul on Marcus Smart or whatever, and I saw the ref hold up 36. These guys have no clue. You can tell
they
better what's going
what's
on
happening
from your couch. It's awful. Ugh.
I mean, to be fair, Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart have similar shot selection, so I can understand why.
All right. Anyway, this is not about ESPN. It's not about the announcers. Nick, do you want to throw anything else out there? Because I haven't even given the call lines out yet, and the call lines are blowing up. So nobody knows the number, yet they're calling. So we got to figure this thing out.
Oh, they all know. No, I have nothing else to contribute about the game other than the words ESPN and expert should never be put into a sentence at the same time again.
Fair enough. All right. Nick is going to go figure out who all of you people are, and then we're going to bring you on the air. Thank you, sir. It's 347-215-7771. That is the toll-free call line for the Celtics post-game show here on CLNS Media. And it's brought to you tonight by Mack Weldon. And if you're unsure what Mack Weldon is, well, maybe you need some new clothes. Maybe you're a guy that looks in his closet and says, I don't know what's going on in here. I need some help. What am I supposed to do? I need to go find some good clothes to buy. Well, guess what? Mack Weldon makes it really basic for you. They believe in smart design and premium fabrics, and they make the shopping really simple. I guarantee that whatever you're wearing right now, Mack Weldon is better, and it's a premium brand made by premium people. It's comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, undershirts, whatever you're looking for. Those things are not as comfortable as the clothes that you're going to get from Mack Weldon. Go check it out right now at MackWeldon.com. That's MackWeldon.com. And you're going to put the promo code CLNS into your screen, into that field. And you're going to get 20% off your first order. And you're going to look better because the clothes that they send you after you choose the best fitting outfits you'll ever find, they're going to make you look like $1 million, and you're not going to spend that much because you're getting 20% off at MackWeldon.com. That's MackWeldon.com. And again, the phone number is 347-215-7771. Calvin.
Yes, sir.
Up next on my list of things to talk about is Al Horford. And if you look at the box score tomorrow morning and you're an Al Horford hater, you are probably going to wonder where he was. And for most of this game, you know what? He kind of was invisible. He didn't do a whole lot in the first three quarters of this game. But when it came down to winning time and he was up over 40 minutes played, he brought it, and he made some key plays down the stretch, including the game-winning steal on the very last play in overtime. So let's get the Al Horford talk out there, because I know that there are a lot of critics of that man, and he doesn't deserve it.
Oh, yeah. He really came up big at the end of the game. Like, I already talked about his defense on Embiid, just defended him phenomenally. I didn't even have a problem with Baines' defense on Embiid as I said earlier, like obviously Embiid's going to get his shots at certain times. He's so strong. Both of them just played great defense, especially Horford. My one criticism of him, but again, it wasn't really so much him as I guess kind of a Stevens criticism in that, like, they tried to take a little bit too much advantage of Ilyasov on the post late in the fourth quarter, where it sort of undermine their offense a little bit in a way that I didn't love. But other than that, he sort of did what Al Horford does. You're right. He doesn't light up the box score. He rarely does. I mean, he's sort of been playing better during these play, or putting up better numbers rather during the playoffs this year. It wasn't his biggest game, but, like, again, he had three blocks, blocked and beat at the top twice. Got a couple of turnovers late.
So good.
Can we talk about Philadelphia's sort of late game decision making when it comes to the turnovers? Yeah. So he sort of disrupts in that situation where Rozier ends up breaking up the pass because Embiid is stuck on the sideline. Some of it has to do with, I think, just bad inbounding on Philadelphia's part. Like, they have to have better inbound players than that, right? Like, you look at the difference between, like, what they're doing at inbound and what the Celtics are doing, like, when Jaylen Brown had that, lob underneath. I'll grant you that Jaylen Brown sort of barely got his hands on the ball, but it still worked perfectly. And then I'm just looking at
there's the other play where Ben Simmons just runs into Embiid trying to turn the corner and sort of Dejavec throws the ball behind him. And that's essentially what allowed the Celtics to take that lead late in the fourth. And it's just like some of their decision-making. And to me, again, you said earlier that you think Philadelphia is too traditional. But my thing is, like, I think they're not traditional enough. They don't have enough ball handling out on the floor with Ben Simmons.
That's true.
They don't have it. So you see Rozier just being able to light up whoever. When Simmons and Embiid are out there, Terry Rozier can light up anybody on the court because no one's fast enough to keep up with him. When you're switching on defense to get T.J. McConnell into the game, then you know, like, you have trouble with traditional
lineups.
Oh,
man, they love him.
This is not even a knock on McConnell. But I think,
all right.
In a way, I think the Sixers play best when he's on the court because then they're more traditional instead of this weird lineup they're playing with the Celtics. They seem to have advantages all over the place.
He definitely can handle the ball. He's one of their better ball handlers. That's for sure why they play him so much, because he's undersized. I guess that's probably why Shane Larkin plays for the Celtics as well. But McConnell does have a lot of energy, so give it to him. Anyway, let's go to those call lines at 347-215-7771. Waiting patiently, first in line, Lydia in Fort Lauderdale. What's going on, Lydia? How are you feeling tonight?
I am feeling wonderful tonight. What a great win. I'm telling you, I'm a little hoarse. I've been screaming. I end up screaming at Nick. I told Nick I had to apologize. I was so excited. But let me tell y'all this. If Brad Stevens don't get Coach of the Year, we're gonna have a problem. We're gonna have a serious problem.
Lydia, hold on a second. Because Coach of the Year is just for the regular season. So unfortunately, there's other coaches that are probably going to have more votes than him, like Mike D'Antoni with the best record in the entire league, and maybe even Dwayne Casey up in Toronto with the best record in the East. But if you factor the playoffs in, I'm with you. Stevens deserves it.
Man, he deserves it in a regular season, in a postseason, in a playoff season, you name it. Brad Stevens is the coach of the year. I don't care what nobody say. And I know at the beginning of the show somebody was saying they so tired of hearing the critics. I don't know who that was, but I'm going to tell you, I'm with you, because they talk about us like a dog. We weren't even supposed to get past Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about us like they even got Shaq talking about us like a dog. They talk about us like we just not nothing. And I love it because it makes us play so much better. I'm telling you, we can't get no love from nobody. They don't love us. That's okay. They ain't got to love us because the real Celtics fans, we know the love.
I mean, I think that has to do just the injuries, though, right? I think the Celtics would be getting a lot more love if they had Kyrie. Obviously, if they had Gordon Hayward.
Of course.
That's too easy
with those guys. Don't give these national guys a break because they don't recognize what's going on here. Philadelphia is not ready for this series, and they're proving it right now. And that's why you said it earlier that you picked the Celtics in this series. I would have picked the Celtics in seven, and they're exceeding my expectations. So Philadelphia just wasn't ready, and anyone that didn't see it just doesn't really have respect for the Celtics, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you know, they said we weren't supposed to beat Milwaukee. Now you should have thought after we beat Milwaukee, we could have got a little love. We still ain't get no love after we beat Milwaukee. Now we up 3-0. I want to know what they're gonna say next. What's gonna be the excuse now? The first game, okay, they was rusty. They didn't play in six games. Okay, then we beat them again. Now we're in their own home. I mean, what's the excuse now? What are they gonna say about us now?
Something, I'm sure. I'm sure they're going to come up with something next game. Lydia, we appreciate the call as always. I hope to hear from you after they sweep in game four on Monday night. We'll talk to you then, all right?
I'm going to be right here. I'm going to be here. Thank you.
Beautiful. Lydia, have a good night. There she goes. Anyway, Calvin, go ahead here. Do you think the TNT guys are going to sort of change their tune on Monday night or what?
No, I think nationally it's going to really be more about what they say about Philadelphia. Because I think the Celtics kind of are what they are, right? Like, they don't really – like. They kind of play consistently game in, game out. Like, yeah, they had a little bit of trouble with Milwaukee. They got past them. But, like, they play – they're obviously very well coached. They play a great style. But the Sixers were – you know, they won 16 in a row to end the regular season. They sort of blew right through Miami.
they obviously have Embiid's personality and Ben Simmons' rookie hype. So there was all this love push behind the Sixers with this idea like, hey, this is the team that's going to keep Cleveland potentially, you know, getting back to the NBA Finals. And I just think people underestimated the fact that, like, that's a lot harder to do than people think. And the Celtics are really showing why that is. But I think, like, it's just going to be – that's going to be the narrative. It's going to be like, oh, I guess maybe Ben Simmons needs to learn how to shoot. I don't think it's going to be, oh, I guess we were all wrong about the Celtics.
All right, buddy. You ready to rip through some calls here?
Let's do it.
347-215-7771. That's the call line brought to you by Mack Weldon. And up next is Sully from the South Coast. What's going on, Sully? You got that Boston name. You got to be pumped about this.
Yeah. Tonight's been awesome. Up 3-0, that's as good as you can expect. And it's funny you talked about Al Horford, because that was the first thing I wanted to say, was like how average Al Horford is. It's like crazy. He's average, and then he turns it on. And he's the best guy on the court, helps you win the game. I'm just kind of kidding there. I thought he did really, really good.
No, I mean, you're right, though. He was pretty average throughout the first couple quarters of this game. And in the first couple games, he was much better than this at home. But down the stretch, he downright was the reason that the Celtics won this game. And they called a play for him in the out-of-bounds situation. He sealed off Covington and got that layup, which I think he was fouled on. The refs swallowed their whistle. And then he got the steal on Embiid and hit two free throws to seal it. So he did miss a free throw that seemed a little shaky earlier, but ultimately, Horford is the one that won this game to me.
Yeah, and the other thing is I'm impressed with the defense. Like, the defensive lineups they're putting out there are so gritty and tough. The other team just, like, must be exhausted playing against them. That everybody you look at is just defensive-minded. And we're getting just enough offense from Al and Tatum and sprinkled in with some Terry, you know, to win these games.
What do you think, Calvin?
Yeah, I agree with you. Sorry, my phone cut out a little bit halfway through a sentence. I didn't quite hear everything.
All right, well, Sully, man, unless you got anything else, we appreciate the call.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Sully, down there, Southie area, I don't know, South Coast? That doesn't sound like a Boston area thing, but he's got a...
You guys don't have a South Coast?
Well, I mean, I bet he said South Shore, and Nick wrote South Coast. So we'll go with South Shore. That's what we'll do. Anyway, let's see who's next, Calvin. We're going down to Atlanta. That's where we're going next. And maybe this guy's got some thoughts on Al Horford. Maybe, I don't know how long you've been in Atlanta, Jimmy, but what's going on tonight? Welcome to the CLNS Post Game Show.
What's up, Jimmy? Man, what's going on, fellas? How you doing, man?
Good
to hear your analysis. Well, yeah, I mean, always if you're talking about Al Horford, man, I've been watching him since he was at Florida, man. And I've always, every time I call in here, I make a little comment about him because he's a winner. And the fact of the matter is that dude is the reason why we're here right now, because, I mean, he definitely was the MVP for the Celtics in the Milwaukee series. And even tonight, yeah, he may not have been scoring early on, but if you're watching close, that dude is the anchor of the defense, man. So there shouldn't be any criticism about Al, man. That's all I got to say about that dude. It is what it is. Overall, you know, I had Philly winning this series. But, you know, after game one, man, actually in the middle of game one when they was interviewing Brad Stevens and they were saying, oh, Embiid's killing you guys down low. And coach was like, yeah, that's 2 points, but, you know, I'll take – basically saying I'll take my three over there too. At that point, I switched. I said, you know what, Celtics going to win this series.
Yep. Coaching's a big deal. You know what? I thought Brett Brown was a good coach. He came from a good coach, a good tree, right? Popovich.
He
coached under Popovich. I thought he was
good.
And he is. He is a good coach. You're right.
He's good.
But Stevens is that much better, and I think he's proving it
but
right
also,
now.
But also, you gotta also remember, just like players, he's never been here before. So You know, that's a part of it too, man. The coaches who've never been in that, sitting at that front seat as a coach in this such a scenario, there takes a little bit of skill there too, man. He's got to get over the hump. Like, he's basically a rookie himself as a coach in the playoffs. So, you know, that's a part of it. But as a whole, he's a good coach if you watch what he's done, even when they had bad players over there, the things that he would do with them. So, you know, give him another year or two, he'll get better. And then, you know, hopefully Simmons, along with the Greek Freak, will go to the Ray Allen School of Jump Shooting. And these dudes get, they'll be what people think they are, and that is great players. I just don't consider them great players as of yet. They definitely have all the makings to be there. But until you can be more than, one-dimensional, you're just not going to beat good teams like the Celtics, especially the Celtics who have the anchor like of a guy like Al Horford on the defensive side.
You know, this is going to sound ridiculous, but it just as an analogy – there's a certain freedom in not having superstar players that allows you to sort of optimize their talents in a way that, like, Brett Brown can't necessarily do, at least right now, with the weaknesses in Ben Simmons and, you know, to a lesser extent, Embiid's game. Like I was saying earlier, like, mm-hmm. Embiid, look, you can't bench Joel Embiid for calling for the ball repeatedly and going to the same post move, even though it's not really Philadelphia's offense. Like, Brett Brown is a good coach. He didn't run, you know, they led the league in passing, as Doris Burke, you know, mentioned 700 times during the broadcast. they run a really good offense, but you know, now that the Celtics are sort of scheming for Simmons a little bit, like, they're not getting those, because they're playing so far off Simmons, they're not necessarily getting those looks. And also because Embiid sort of felt like he needed to carry the game on his shoulders, they went away from what they did best. But Brett Brown can't just sit down and be sort of calling for the ball too much in a scenario where, like, Brad Stevens can, you know, he's playing a bunch of guys, you know, 20 to 35 minutes a game. So it makes it easy, especially without, like, if Kyrie Irving was in this game, maybe the scenario would be different. Maybe there'd be a game where Kyrie sort of shot the Celtics out of the game. That's a thing that's possible. And then we'd be talking about whether or not they won or lost on the back of Kyrie in a way that's not really happening here. So I don't think it's really fair to put this on Brett Brown, because I do think he's doing a good job.
No.
I don't know
if we're trying to put it on Brett Brown. I wouldn't go that far. I'm just saying that Brad Stevens is out coaching him in this series. I think that's being proven right now. So I think Brad Stevens is showing that he has what it takes. And Jimmy, your point about Brett Brown being there for the first time is definitely valid. He's going to learn from this, and he's probably going to come back next year even better. And I think Philadelphia will come back next year even better. And this team is going to be a team to be reckoned with for the next few years and maybe even the next 10 years. So don't sleep on Philadelphia. Yeah. I'm not trying to do that, but I'm just saying they are not ready right now. And this series is proving it.
I will say to criticize Brett Brown, in a series where it's clearly obvious, right, that the Sixers lack ball handlers, you know, and especially like when McConnell's off the court in a scenario where, like, yeah, Ben Simmons doesn't want to shoot, but when Ben Simmons doesn't have the ball in his hand, like, they really don't have that much secondary playmaking. The fact that he hasn't even tried Fultz, I understand, you know, maybe not having complete confidence in him, but, like, at some point in the series, not going to him until you're down 3-0. I mean, I'm assuming we're going to see him in the next game. Maybe we won't. But, like, at a certain point, you've got to try your 6'5 athletic, you know, number one pick of the draft. Do you not?
Yeah, I agree. That would be my criticism as well, man. Just you gotta put him in at some point, because clearly you're lacking at that guard position. You use McConnell because of his defensive, you know, just being a pain in the behind. But I think you definitely got to put – you know, add some size, some athleticism in there, and see what the guy does. You know, the thing is, you know, on game two, when the Celtics were coming back from, you know, 20 down, and you could say that Brett was saying, you know what, I'm going to let my guys learn from this. I'm not going to call a timeout. You could say that. But at the same time, if that's going to be your approach, why would you not put Fultz in the game as well, so that he can get a little bit of the taste of the playoffs and at this level of intensity in the Garden? So that
it's almost
feel that
it's almost as if Brett Brown agreed with the people that thought Philadelphia was going to win the series, and he was really going for it. You know, he was really trying to win the series, and he didn't believe in Markelle Fultz for some reason. But, I mean, in that regard, I would say if Simmons and Embiid can't get him over the hump to win a game in this series, which maybe they will on Monday, but if they can't do that, I feel like Markelle Fultz is not going to really add much to their team, and maybe that's what Brett Brown was thinking, and that's who knows whether he'll play in game four or not, but I'm with you. I think he should play because he's got to get that experience sometime. You might as well just give it to him now if he's healthy, and they do need ball handling. We know he's capable of doing that, even if he would be another guy that just can't make a jumper on this team. So that's Philadelphia's biggest flaw right
there.
That's
the thing.
Sure.
The last few games when he played in the regular season, his jump shot looked fine. Put him in there and let him get in the mix out there and see
why
how
not?
That plays, if you ask me. I mean, hey,
anyway.
You've seen these other rookies play well. Why not him?
Plus, I'm with you, Jimmy. I'm glad you came around on the Celtics so early in this series, game one. I love it, man. Good to hear from you.
One last thing, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
So real quick, so moving on to the next series, you know, obviously it looks like it's Cleveland, and I honestly feel like we have a better shot against Cleveland. I think that matchup is better for the Celtics than Toronto. So I'd like to hear
definitely.
What you guys say about that.
All right. Good stuff, Jimmy. All Calvin, right. Let's leave that off before we go to the next caller. That's a good sort of segue topic. How do you feel about the next series since we're already declaring this one is over? Let's assume it's Cleveland. I don't know. Their game just started a few minutes ago. But they are up 2-0 and they're in Cleveland, so let's assume that it's going to be them. Do you agree with Jimmy in the regard that the Celtics have a better matchup than Toronto, first of all? And second of all, do the Celtics have a chance to even win that series?
Here's the thing, okay? Toronto and the Celtics have a lot of similarities, especially in the sense of, like, they're both really deep teams that sort of overwhelm you in waves, right? Now, they obviously have different guys, but they sort of, like, both have egalitarian offenses where, like, especially without Kyrie, where I guess a little less so with Toronto and DeRozan, but, like, even he's sort of sharing the ball more. They're similar in these ways, and I'm watching, you know, Toronto is down 2-0 to Cleveland, and, yeah, they got blown out in game two, but my thing is that I still sort of feel like Toronto is a better basketball team than Cleveland. The same way I felt that Indiana was a better basketball team than Cleveland. I wonder how much it matters if LeBron decides to be LeBron. If LeBron decides they're not going
right.
to lose, and I
That's
sort of feel the same way against the Celtics. If LeBron decides to just go 100% all out to make sure they don't lose, I watched that last game, game two, where Cleveland blew Toronto out. The shots LeBron was making were impossible shots to defend. You know, Kawhi Leonard couldn't defend those shots. There's not an NBA player who can defend a high-arcing fadeaway, a turnaround jumper by LeBron James when you also have to defend him driving to the rim. I mean, just he was taking shots that would be bad. Basically like Steph Curry shots where Steph Curry makes a shot and you just go, well, like
sure.
that's a bad shot by any player in the NBA. There's
yep.
basically nothing you can do about it.
Elite
sort of
superstar
yeah.
player type of shots. Like LeBron
yeah,
James is still that guy and he's showing it right now. That's the thing that scares me for
yeah.
sure.
I sort of feel the same way where it's like, I guess I'm kind of back to thinking Cleveland is going to go to the NBA finals, but I'm not particularly impressed with that team. And I imagine if they do get to the finals, it would, you know, four or five games and that's a wrap. But I wouldn't.
Honestly,
I'm torn.
Put a gun to my head tonight, right now, I'm picking Cleveland because I haven't seen what's going on with their game in Toronto. But if they're on the way to sweeping, and the Celtics are on their way to sweeping, let's just assume that as well. Both teams sweep. But Cleveland did it on the back of LeBron James, and the Celtics did it on the back of teamwork and Brad Stevens. Unfortunately, I still think you've got to pick LeBron James in a 7-game series, even though the Celtics have home court advantage. He's showing they can win here. He doesn't care about the building. That's not going to bother him. If he's being the all-time great player that he is apparently going to end up being when it's all said and done, then I don't know if there's anyone on the Celtics that can stop him. Now, Brad Stevens can scheme things up and try and make it more difficult for him and make other guys knock down shots. And yes, it's not going to be a clean sweep. I'm not saying that LeBron James is going to come in and throw the hammer down and the Celtics are going to just wilt away. I think that's going to be a long series. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, I would still probably bet on LeBron James.
I think if the Celtics
More the Celtics play, the more they convince me that that's probably wrong. So maybe I'll get there by the end of this series and at the beginning of the next one. Who knows? But by then it'll be too late. You got to make your pick first, right?
Yeah, I think if the Celtics were to win that series, it would have to be on the back of the offense, right? Like it would, and that's a hard thing to say necessarily about the Celtics, but like the Cavs still, even in this run, they're not. Like the defense, all of a sudden. They've just been so ridiculously good on offense.
Right.
And you know, again, they barely got past Indiana. And really, you could make the argument that they should have lost that series, considering that Grayson and Paul, if they got, what was it, game six? Or was it game five? Where they got that goaltending call and that set up the three that LeBron hit up the other. That mattered without the goaltending. So he got a block, but it should have been goaltending. Anyway, the point is like, and there's also the argument, I guess, if you're a Celtics fan, where you go, well, how much of this is Toronto being Toronto? And maybe that's not fair to Toronto.
Maybe that's it. Who knows? They still seem soft. I don't know, Calvin. You might be right on that one.
Yeah, maybe it is fair. Maybe you go, well, the Celtics aren't going to, like, the Celtics are not going to just crumble at the first punch the way Toronto. Maybe that's your thought there. And then you go, well, if you look at it that way, then maybe they are the team that's going to sort of overwhelm them. I don't know. There's so many wild cards in this scenario that I can't. It's hard for me to bet against LeBron because he's LeBron. Against a depleted Celtics team, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Celtics.
It would be tough. Oh yeah, sure. I'm not running them off for sure. If I was forced to make a bet, maybe I would lose, and I'd be okay with that. How about that? All right, we have gotten away from the call lines, but we're going to go back to them right now. 347-215-7771. We're going to finish strong here because we've got our man Isaiah in New Jersey. What's going on, Isaiah? You've got to be pumped.
What's up, fellas? How's everything with you?
Great, man. We're looking good right now, up 3-0.
Two of my favorite hosts, man. Calvin, what's going on?
What's up, brother?
Nothing much, man. Hey, I think we covered it all on the first night of the series when yourself and Nick, we all talked about it for a while, and we made the point that unless Philly makes some adjustments, that they're going to be in for a long series. And who thought that the long series meant a short series? Jeez. I mean, Brett Brown doesn't really have much to go to. He doesn't have any defensive players that he can bring in. He doesn't want to use Fultz, which I think he should be using because he doesn't have much to go off of. And the national take on it that Philadelphia was gonna beat the Celtics in this series, how bad did those guys look? I mean, everybody wants to be a front runner and jump on the brand new thing, but nobody really took a look and saw that the Celtics that remained on the squad were playoff tested, that Brad Stevens is playoff tested, and not only that, he's the best coach in the league. And I agree with Paul Pierce and what he said before the game or at halftime, has hands down, Brad's the best coach in the league. And not only that, if you look past all the Celtic bias, Philadelphia has zero playoff experience, and it shows in this series. Those young guys that everyone wanted to anoint the next best thing and put them in the finals, none of them have any experience, and it shows. Their lackadaisical passes, Brett Brown doesn't have the playoff experience, his plays that he draws up as opposed to Brad's on, even on the caliber of what Brad is doing. I think that it went from a 7-game series in my mind to maybe a 5-game series, and we closed it out at home. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think they've got a good chance to close it out Monday, but I wouldn't bet against Philadelphia. I feel like they have too much talent to get swept, to be honest with you. I feel like, and not only that, the conspiracy theorist in me believes the league is going to want to extend this thing and bring it back to Boston. So that's my take on it. I don't know how Calvin feels.
I mean, you know, I'm very much anti-conspiracy theory guy, but I just think that the Sixers are going to have to win a game at some point. It's very close.
Exactly.
I guess they might not have to win a game at some point, right? But this game was very close. The last game before this was very close. I think just, you know, a big part of it is in big moments, you're right, coaching has made a big difference. Celtics have, you know, made plays that sort of get the ball to the right guys in the right situations. And I think a lot of that has to do with what I said earlier about Philadelphia just lacking ball handlers. Because you see, like, when the Celtics put on as much pressure as they can put on in these huge moments, like, time and time again, we see Philadelphia turning the ball over. And, like, that's been a huge difference in these last few games.
Absolutely. The turnovers is a big thing. And that's maturity in the playoffs. And I will say this, that this is really going to be a test of whether or not the Celtics have that killer instinct, because Philadelphia is going to give them their best game of the season on Monday night. You got to guarantee that. These guys have too much pride, too much talent to do that at their at home. So the Celtics, this is going to be a good test for them to see if they have that killer instinct that you need to win big series in the NBA playoffs. So Isaiah, I don't know if you feel like these guys have that killer instinct. I think some of them do, but as a whole, I think they're going to find out on Monday night.
Oh, the Celtics? I think that they definitely have the killer instinct.
Yep.
But I think
Celtics.
That, like, I think like Calvin just said, the ball could have bounced a couple of ways in both of these games, and the Celtics could have lost at least one of them. So I think that that the odds of us sweeping, not saying that we can't, but I think Philly's good enough to take a game in this series, and we clean it up on our home court. But even bigger than that, looking towards Philly long range. And only because they're going to be our main opponent moving forward in the Eastern Conference. I think we touched on this on Monday, or at least I think I did. I don't think those two guys can play together unless Ben Simmons gets a jump shot. They have Embiid setting pick and rolls when he's the biggest guy on the court, and he's so athletic. And yes, he can dribble from the 3-point line, but why do you want to pick and pop with him and not just punish the Celtics? He punishes them when he's down in the post. But they keep
I don't know if I would say he punishes them, though, Isaiah, because he misses a lot of shots in the paint. We were talking about this earlier. His paint moves are not that great.
Yeah,
his
it's funny.
His paint moves aren't that great, but he's so long, man. He constantly puts the Celtics. Like, when they stop him, it seems like they're stopping their big brother from scoring on him. You know, he's just so dominant. And I think that because Ben Simmons, his game isn't as evolved as it might be a couple of years from now, or it may never evolve, I think it's a tough spot for Embiid, because I would much rather see him just consistently leaning on the Celtics from the post rather than have him – every time he dribbles the ball from the 3-point line, that's a win for us. Whether he gets to the hole or not, I think that's a win for us.
See, I largely disagree with what you're saying. And the reason why – is because, getting someone up the ball in motion, and especially a guy, yes, you're right, Joel Embiid has matchup advantages in the post, but he is so fast for his size that, like, when he's throwing down in the face of Aaron Bain, facing up on him like that, he looks so much better than when he posts up and he's trying to, like, back somebody down and then take a jump hook over him. Yeah, there's games where he can be really effective on that. But guess what? Nobody else on the court is doing anything in that situation. You get Joel Embiid rolling, or you get him even at the 3-point line, which to me is something I like a little bit less than pick and roll, because you're right. I don't think he's necessary in that scenario. He's not there for offensive rebounds. He's not there sort of as a decoy to free up the actual 3-point shooters on the team. Like, you're not taking advantage of his gravity in that respect. So I agree with you there, but I just think when you can get him moving, in my opinion, like, that was one of their biggest innovations in this game, or their biggest coaching wins, I guess is what you could say, is the fact that they didn't get Joel Embiid going on with motion. They sort of rolled him in the scenario where he kept posting up Baines and Horford, thinking he was going to score on them every time, and he ended up having an inefficient game that even if Joel Embiid puts up 35 in that game, you're still, like, not getting the ball. The reason you have Saric and Ilyasova and Bellinelli out there on the court is to space the floor so they can hit threes. But if he's not going to pass the ball out because he's so single-mindedly focused on taking advantage of his matchup, then in my opinion, the Celtics have won that, because they're going to hit enough threes to overcome that anyway.
But to me, I think that's a coaching change, though. If you're saying that he's a black hole when you throw the ball in, that's something different. And I don't think that that negates the advantage that he has, because Baines, am I mistaken, did Baines foul out tonight, or what, did he have five fouls?
No, he fouled
five.
Out.
Yeah,
Baines fouled out?
I thought he fouled out.
I think he had five, but the pressure that he puts on your defense, whether he scores or not, and you also see that when he misses.
Right.
Smart fouled out.
You can see when he misses, he still puts the defender in an awkward spot for an offensive rebound and a putback. And not only that, he can get your whole team in free and foul trouble. So I disagree with that simply because, and I think the reason why they don't go to that more is because if you do double him, you can double him with Ben Simmons' man, and that negates and guard everyone else. So give Ben Simmons the shot is something they don't want to do. So they have to hide Ben Simmons by using that pick and roll. And I think that Ben Simmons' skills doesn't allow for the team to grow or allow for Embiid to grow. Unless he unlocks a jump shot sometime in the offseason, I see them hitting a wall all the time.
The thing again about Embiid, though, is he's so fast. He's such a good cutter. You talk about, like, drawing fouls. When a guy is flying toward the rim, you're like, that's a lot of the time where they get fouled. Like, Joel Embiid running at somebody, and somebody underneath, like, trying to take a charge that they're never going to get, or, like, somebody rotating slowly because Embiid is so fast. Like, that's a real thing to me with Simmons, like, unlocking that jump shot, which is the fact that, like, if people are sagging off and off Simmons, so he's not going to be able to make the big-to-big pass, or, you know, point guard to big, if you want to call Ben Simmons the point guard, whatever you want to call him. The point is like,
he's still a point forward.
Yeah, but he's not reaching up and beating for that little underneath. He is, because he's such a good passer and he can, you know, take advantage of the fact that he doesn't have space. But people are still sagging off and trying to double team Embiid. When Embiid gets in motion, in my opinion, is especially like toward the rim, he is the most effective Embiid. I bet you his efficiency is better when he's going toward the rim as well. I'm 90% positive of that.
So you would prefer to take a 7'1", 250-pound guy, play him on the perimeter, and have him dribble to the paint? You think you're gonna beat the Celtics with that?
Right.
No, I want him as a cutter. I want him as a Tyson Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's well and good, but I think he wants the ball in his hands, and I don't know if he's really that great catching the ball and putting the ball on the floor right afterwards and making a move on the move. So I don't know. Isaiah, we got to wrap things up here, man. But we appreciate the call.
I definitely appreciate you guys for taking the call on a night like this. I didn't expect us to win this series like this, but I'll take it any which way I can get it. Go Seas.
All right. There goes Isaiah in New Jersey. And, Calvin, before we wrap this thing up, I want to get back to Brad Stevens, because I think that he's one of the more important factors in this series and for the Celtics team in general. And while the players are executing for him and he's really putting them in a good spot and the players deserve a ton of credit, I want to give the coach some credit too, because especially tonight on this last possession here, sort of looking back on it, they had two shots at it, right? They had a timeout, so there were 8.5 seconds left. And Stevens noticed that Covington switched onto Al Horford. But the first play that the Celtics ran, Al Horford was standing around the free throw line. So instead of having Al Horford at the free throw line, he switched the play and he put Al Horford in the paint, and Covington still switched on to him. So to me, that's Brad Stevens looking at a late game situation, having a timeout in his pocket, and perfectly counteracting what Brett Brown was going to do. And I don't know what Brett Brown told Covington in the huddle. I don't know whether Covington was always supposed to switch, or he was supposed to switch in a certain place, or what have you. But the bottom line is Stevens countered Brett Brown's defense, and his team executed better, and I think that coaching all year has to play a factor in that, and just them knowing what Stevens is looking for. I think that the last 6 years under Brad Stevens, teams have overachieved largely for reasons like this, him calling plays like this and putting guys in good spots and everyone trusting each other, and I think that comes from the top and it comes from the coach. So there's my praise for Brad tonight.
You know what's funny about that play is that I didn't see it as like them making an intentional switch, because one, Covington was so slow to react to what was happening. He sort of just stood there, and Embiid seemed to, for a second or two, expect Covington to chase after Jaylen Brown, because he let Jaylen Brown run out toward the three-point line, and then when he saw that Covington wasn't doing anything, then he had to run out there after him at that point. I don't know, I'm not saying there wasn't like a obviously a design call on Brad Stevens' part, but like I just wonder about whether the switch was intentional, because I don't think Embiid wanted to switch until he was in a situation where Covington just wasn't going to go out there. Hello? Did you mute yourself?
Well, no, I'm just, if that was the case, I'm sorry, I was just watching the play again. If that was the case, then why did Embiid step backwards immediately? It almost looked like that he was just ready to switch no matter what, because Horford sort of sets a pick on Simmons, and Embiid just steps backwards waiting for Brown to come off of it, and Covington, you're right, was just looking around, like, what do I do? And just for a split second, and then he got sealed off.
Yeah. I really put that on Covington mostly. I'm sorry, I'm getting that energy. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, the show's almost over, so you can just start eating things. That's fine.
I'm really hungry.
That's fine. It's fair enough for you. You go get some food, get some dinner, because the show's over. Thank you all for listening tonight. It's been the Celtics post game show on CLNS Media, and we will talk to you on Monday night. And if I knew who was hosting, I'd be a better host myself, but I just don't. So come listen, come talk to us then, and go Celtics. Calvin, have a good night, man.
Good night.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on clnsradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at clnsradio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.
I don't know. Sorry, man.